Well, I want to imagine that you are in downtown Chattanooga and you are at Coolidge Park. Can you picture yourself at Coolidge Park? And you picture yourself in the middle of Coolidge Park. Can you feel, you're looking down over the bank and you see the Tennessee River all the way across to your left. You see the Walnut Street Bridge up there. You see the Veterans Bridge on your right. You see the Market Street Bridge. Can you picture yourself at Coolidge Park? Now, here's your one job to do. I want you to get everybody that is in this room across Coolidge Park without using a bridge, without using that Chattanooga duck boat thing, you know, that comes through. No stand-up paddle boards. You have to get everybody in this room across the Tennessee River. How many of you think that would be a pretty impassable, impossible task? Yeah. Now, I want you to take this and just look around. Look around at these people. Boy, if there's anybody that ought to be sent up the river, it's us. Oh, wait, across the river, it's us. But I want you to imagine you're standing on the banks of the raging Jordan River in its flood stage in the spring, what normally is a 100 to 150 foot span to cross now is a mile to a mile and a half. But you don't have just this group of people. You have 1.5 to 3 million people and all their stuff and all the livestock. And your job is to get all of these people across this river, no boats, no bridges. How many of you think that seems just impossible? Yeah, you better believe it. When we left the people of Israel the last time, this is where we left them. We left them on the raging bank of the Jordan River, waiting to pass that impassable, impossible barrier. We're in a series on the book of Joshua entitled Claiming God's Victory. Remember that God had promised the people of Israel that he would give them this land on the other side of the Jordan River, a land that had enemies certainly, challenges ahead absolutely. But this was their land and he would give them the victory if they would but claim it. They lived in the shadow of the rebellion of the previous generation. And now God brought them to the place where they were ready to cross into that land to experience the victory that God had. But before they got there, they had this impassable, impossible barrier. They just couldn't get past. You know, God has victories planned for you. But along the way, what you'll find is that God will bring you to places just where we left the people of Israel, where there will be things that you just say, I cannot get past this. This is just so impassable. It's so impossible. It's holding you back, and you're missing out on what God has because this barrier is so powerful in your life. I'm going to invite you to take your Bible and go with me where we left the people of Israel to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. And you want to find verse 15, or verse 14 rather. I'll give you a moment to find it. And then I'm going to just ask you to think about this. Do you have barriers in your life that seem impassable? Battles in your own spirit, in your own soul, in your own life, your flesh. Things that seem so far beyond that there's no way and you just are. It just becomes impassable. Do you have that in your mind? Is that something that is a real thing for you in your life? Well, they are impassable to us and impossible to us, but they are not impossible and impassable to God. And so we need God the Spirit to speak to us from this portion of his word as we watch these people of Israel follow God and takes them beyond what they thought they could never get past and watch what God does for them and then anticipate what God will do for you to help you and take you past what you think I could never get past. All right, let's pray and ask God to help us then. Lord, we come asking for your grace to speak to us from this portion of your word. And it is such a dynamic and wonderful account of your working in the past. And through it, speak to us about how you are working in our present. And so with yieldedness to you, Lord, and your enabling power to receive as your Spirit speaks to us as individuals and as a preacher, coming in not in my own enabling power, but in yours, resting in you, we ask for you to do this very thing. Help us in the impassable barriers in our lives to seek you and your help and your power for Jesus' sake. And in his name we pray this. Amen. Well, when we were together the last time, we learned about the four impassable barriers in your life. In fact, the sermon was entitled, and this is entitled the same title, Mission Impassable. Four phases to passing the impassable barriers of your life. The last time we learned about the first two phases. The first phase was the preparation phase. God brings us to the end of self-sufficiency, so that we can experience supernatural sufficiency. I wonder if over this past week, God has been speaking to you and helping you to see and identify your self-sufficiency. So that now God can bring you to that place where he can step into your life and show his supernatural sufficiency. And when God brings you to those points where you're at the end of your self-sufficiency, here's what you can expect. You can expect that God is preparing you because he wants to take you to something, to a place where you've never been before. And he wants to do things in your life that he's never done before. He wants to move you past that barrier, but he first brings you to the place of insufficiency, resting in his sufficiency. That's the preparation phase. And then we learned and left the people of Israel on the bank of the Jordan River, and they came to the second phase of passing the impassable barriers in your life, and that's the presentation phase. God now brings them to the edge of this river, and he brings them to a place that his path is clearly presented to them. And when God brings you to these points in your life, and he says, okay, here's what you need to do. When God brings you to that next step in your life, you have to decide, am I going to stay where I am, or am I going to go with God? Now, if you stay where you are, you're always going to be limited by mission impassable. But if you're willing to go with God, then God now brings you, will take you into that next step. Now, if you're a person that says, I'm not willing to stay where I am and miss what God has, I'm willing to leave where I am and go with God, then my friend, you are ready to step into the third phase of passing the impassable barriers in your life. Are you ready for it? Here we go. Phase three. Phase three is the commitment phase. We read about it in Joshua chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, where you have turned in your Bible through verse 17. A well-known preacher of the 19th and into the 20th century, F.B. Meyer, once said, "You don't test the resources of God till you try the impossible." And as this dramatic scripture unfolds, the scriptures reveal the works of God. Start reading in verse 14 of Joshua chapter 3. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped to the brim of the water, for the Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. That's the spring, the flax, and the barley harvest. That the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city of Adam, that is beside Zaratan. And those that came downward toward the sea of the plain, even to the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. What a miracle! The priests carry the Ark of the Covenant. Everybody else follows. And the water's flowing. And the moment they put their feet into the water, what does God do? God stops the water flow. Well, how many of you have ever been frustrated when there has been an accident on one of our interstates? In our city, we live on interstates, right? Everything moves on interstates. You've been frustrated when there's been an accident on the interstate and there's nowhere to go. What happens to all the traffic whenever those lanes are blocked off? What happens? It just stacks up. And that's what frustrates you. How many of you have been stuck in there, nowhere to go? Nowhere to go. Well, you can imagine then what happened when these priests dipped their feet in the water. What God does is God stops the water right where it is. And all the upstream water is stacking up in a heap. In fact, it's so far, we're told it's all the way up to very far from the city of Adam, that is beside Zaratan. Do you know what that is? This is 20 miles upriver. The water just keeps stacking and stacking and stacking and stacking all the way up. Now, to try to give you an idea of what that is, let's go back to Coolidge Park. You're back at Coolidge Park, and you're standing by the Tennessee River. And let's say at the Walnut Street Bridge, all of a sudden, God stops the water of the Tennessee River. And if God doesn't, Chickamauga Dam does. But God does it. Now, to picture this, imagine the Tennessee River from Walnut Street Bridge, where you can picture it. You're going to go all the way back up over, you're going to go back up past the Chickamauga Dam, all the way up to Harrison Bay, all the way through Middle Valley. You're going to go all the way back up the river to Soddy Daisy. That's 20 miles on the river. So for all that time, God is just stopping the water. That's miraculous. But do you know there's another miracle that takes place at the very same time? Look in your Bible at verse 17. And the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over. Did you see the other miracle? Now, let's go back to Coolidge Park. Let's say that God stopped the water at Walnut Street Bridge. You all that have swam in the Tennessee River, how many of you think it's going to be, what's the bottom of the Tennessee River going to be like? Yucky? That's a technical word. Yucky. Muddy? Yuck? Did you see the miracle God gave? He stops the waters, but the people passed over on dry ground. Now that's a miracle. And in fact, they go from where they are all the way down to the mouth of the Dead Sea, the Salt Sea. From where they passed over, it's about 5 to 7 miles. And here are the people, and they watch this water as it stops on one side, and they watch it just trail off. And as the water trails off, as it flows southward, the ground from which it just departed is dry. Wow. That's miraculous. You say, it just doesn't make any sense to me. That doesn't make any sense. But friends, when God works, God does things that do not make sense to us. You're saying that what we should do is we're going to follow these priests. They're going to walk into the water. No bridges, no other way across. And for us to get across, we just need to walk into a raging, flooded river, and God will get us across. Yes, God will get us across. That's absurd. Foolish. Unless God is at work. And in your life, what you're going to find is God will bring you to places in your life. And you're going to question me, say, Lord, this is absurd. This is foolish. Lord, this does not make any sense to me. Why would you do it this way? But God works in another dimension. But for them to experience this, someone had to get their feet wet. And the priests had to be willing to let's obey God and trust God. And when they stepped into the water and got their feet wet, then all of a sudden God began to work. God began to work and manifested himself in such a powerful way. So what do? Here's your dilemma. You're at Coolidge Park. You have to get 1.5 to 3 million people across the Tennessee River. Now imagine when God stops up the water, and if you can picture where you are at Coolidge Park and the Walnut Street Bridge, imagine if you had from the Walnut Street Bridge all the way back as the river flows all the way up to the Chickamauga Dam, and now that is dry ground. Does now that seem possible to get all those people and all their stuff across the river? Yeah. So that's what God did. God brought the people in this case to a place of this impossible situation so that God would work miraculously. The Word of God reveals the works of God to reveal the ways of God in this passage. God reveals, not just in His Word, He reveals His ways, but He reveals His ways. And when you come to the place that you're at that joint, that venture, and you say, God, there's no way I can do it, but God, I'm going to be willing to commit to follow you, to take me through what is impassable to me, to get past it. There are three commitments that you're going to need to make. Three commitments you'll need to make. One is this. You need to commit to obeying God before seeing the end result. Commit to obeying God before seeing the end result. How many of you like the idea of saying, okay, Lord, here's what I think you want to be done, and I'm really glad because I really can see how that's going to work. You like that? Or say, Lord, I like this because it really fits in very nicely with my plans. It really fits my convenience. I like that, Lord. That's good. That's good. But I wonder if you'd say, well, Lord, that doesn't fit my plans and my convenience. Lord, what you've asked to do, what you've asked to do, I'm not sure that's going to work, Lord. Okay, Lord, I'll obey you if, and then you lay out your conditions. How many of you ever had those moments? I'll obey you if. Now, friend, as long as you're playing a manipulation game with God, I will obey you if. You're always going to be stuck on this side of the barrier. You'll never get past. You have to be willing to commit to obeying God before seeing the end result. So imagine what it must have been like if you're there and you are the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant. They go forward and remember their 3,000 cubits, which is about a half a mile ahead, and remember what's going on. And once they move, then the rest of the people move, and there's an order by which they go, and you're toward the front. Your tribe is one of those early tribes, and you're toward the front, and you watch them, and they are marching right toward the river. And nothing's happening. Okay, here we go. And you're following along. You're following your distance. But Lord, I don't see anything happening. And you watch them get closer and closer. And as they get closer and closer, nothing's happening. And you say, what are you doing here? What's going on? And then they finally dip into the water. And as soon as they dip in, all of a sudden, God steps in. You watch this take place, and the water on stops, and you watch the water begin to heap as it goes back, and you're just amazed. And then you look the other way, and you watch the trailing water, and as it trails, you look, you say, wow, that's not muddy, that's dusty. Look at that. You say, wow. But it didn't happen till somebody was willing to step in. Obeying God before they could see the result. You know, it may be for God to help you pass those impassable barriers Could it be that God is waiting for you just to step into the water in obedience? Not trying to manipulate God and play this game with God as though God is your magic genie to give you what you want your way. No, to say, God, I'm just going to be willing to trust you and commit that I'm going to obey you whether I see the end result or not. And you watch what God does. Risky? Yeah. Humanly, yeah. Takes faith? Yes, you'd better believe it takes faith. God just may be waiting for you to get your feet wet. But it doesn't make sense. Yes, it doesn't make sense humanly. But remember, God's in another dimension. And God works in another dimension. Here's your first commitment to make at this phase in this journey that you're on. The first commitment is commit to obey God before you see the end result. Here's the second of the three commitments to make at this phase. Commit to taking one step at a time. Commit to taking one step at a time. So God led those priests, and they go out to the middle, and they stop, and then the people follow along. And the way it's described, verse 16 uses the expression, the people passed over. Verse 17, the people were clean or passed clean over. It sounds like a southerner. A southerner wrote this, you know? Chapter 4, verse 1, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan. How do they get from one side to the other? Do you know how they got from one side to the other? One step at a time. One step at a time. And they pass over and they pass through. The waters held up on one side, upstream, downstream, the waters pass through. And all the people and all their stuff and all their animals and all that they needed to live, they just take one step at a time. And that barrier that was impassable now became passable. One step at a time. You know, that's how God seems to work. God works in this way that when you're willing to obey Him, and then you take that next step, that God just gives you the grace and the strength to take that next step. And the faith to take the next step. And the faith to take the next step. Each step is a work of God in your life. And for you to go through that impassable barrier, it's one step at a time. Now, when God takes you one step at a time, there's something wonderful that God has promised you in the midst of it. You don't need to turn there, but I'm going to turn in my Bible to the book of Isaiah chapter 43. Listen to this scripture, Isaiah chapter 43. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. You're just going to take, you're going to go through times that are like this. You're going to say, this is impassable. There's no way. And God says, I'm going to be with you all the way. My presence will be with you. You're not alone. When you're going through some things in life, you may feel as though you're alone. But whenever you're walking with God, you're not alone. His presence is enough to help you in each of those steps. But then remember His promises. There hath no, this is 1 Corinthians 10:13, let's hope I can quote it right. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. So in each of these steps, remember the trial that God brings into your life, the temptation of your own flesh as you're battling against those destructive forces of the world around us and our flesh within us, remember that God's promise is this: I'm never bringing you to a place where I will not have the power to help you through and give you victory. And so what do? We take a step. And then we, Lord, help me on the next step. Help me on the next step. The commitment to take one step at a time. And when you come to this commitment phase, there's one more commitment that you can make. The third commitment that you can make is commit to trusting God to turn barriers into blessings. They were clean, passed over. That means they got to the other side, and they looked back from the other side, and they looked, and, wow. On the other side, that barrier was impassable, impossible. There was no way past it. For we obeyed God, and we walked through each step. Now we're on the other side and say, wow. Oh, I'm so glad. Now I see something God did in my life. We can experience Him. We just didn't have the opportunity to experience Him that way, but you'd never know this until you were willing to go through. So while you're following God in this commitment phase, just remember this, that God is doing such a wonderful work as He takes you through, that He is going to take that barrier and He wants to turn it into a blessing. It's been said that only those who see the impossible can see the invisible can do the impossible. And I want you to think about your barriers that to you, I can't get past it. You've given up. You've given in. You just satisfied to live in a tepid life of defeat. I want to tell you that barrier that you've given up on, this will become, if you're willing to commit to the Lord and follow the Lord through this, this will become something that you'll look back on it and you will see the work of God in your life in such a powerful way. And now you think it's just such a barrier, but this will become such a blessing in your life. You wouldn't choose this for yourself, right? You wouldn't choose it for yourself. But God has chosen to work in your life through this so that this becomes such a blessing. And so if you are a person that just has given up, if you're a person that says there's no hope, if you're a person that says I'm stuck in where I am and there's no way out of this, I want to tell you there is hope for you. You obey God. And take one step at a time with Him and trust Him that He will turn that barrier into blessings. Well, we just had a recent election. We made it through election season. Phew. I don't understand, really. I do not understand what's taking so long. There's still counting going on. And all of our technology, how is that? It's amazing. But there's a special election for a judge in a rural county. And the judge that won gave his election speech, and he said this. He said, "I wish to say thank you to the 424 people who promised to vote for me. And I wish to say thank you for the 316 people who said that they did vote for me. And I wish to thank the 47 people who came out to vote last Thursday. And I wish to thank the 26 folks who actually did vote for me." So I'm going to ask you, how are you doing following through on your commitments? Well, God brings us to Mission Impassable. And in these four phases that take us beyond these impassable barriers, he brings us in the preparation phase, and then he brings the presentation phase. The third phase is the commitment phase. And there's one more phase that people who believe God enjoy. And it's the best part. Here's the fourth phase. It's the commemoration phase. The commemoration phase. And that's what chapter 4 is about. This is the time you celebrate God's power. So you're in your Bible, Joshua chapter 4. I'll begin reading in verse 1. It came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over the Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every man a tribe, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. Ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every man a tribe. He did that earlier in chapter 3, verse 12. We read about it. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before you, or before the ark of the Lord, your God, and in the midst of the Jordan, and take up you every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. And when it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were all cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded. And he took up the 12 stones out from the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them into the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. But that wasn't all. There's more that goes on. Look in your Bible now, verse 9. And Joshua set up the 12 stones in the midst of the, or set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests bear the ark of the covenant stood. And they are there until this day. And for the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua. And the people hasted and passed over. And then, look in your Bible, verse 15 through verse 20. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of the Jordan. And Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up into the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place and flowed over all its banks as they did before. And the people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. You read about this and you read about two memorials. Two memorials. One memorial was on the river. It was the very place where the priest stood with the Ark of the Covenant. And they build up these 12 stones and they stick them up. Now, in the flood stage, they'd be covered. But most of the year, the water's not at flood stage. And as the water goes to its normal size, there, in the middle of the river, you look and you say, look at that. Look at those stones all sticking up out of the water, stacked so high. That's one memorial. Then there's another memorial. The other memorial was the one that the guys picked up the stones from the middle of the river and they put them on their shoulder and carried them out. And the place where they lodged, they built another memorial, a 12-stone memorial. The one is in the river, the one is in Gilgal. The one in the river represents the old life. What God did to liberate them from the old life. The one in Gilgal represents the new life, the victory that God had for them. The old life is leaving the past in the past. The new life is living in new victory. The Apostle Paul put it this way, Philippians chapter 3, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, leave the past in the past, reaching forth into those things which are before. Leave the old life past, the new life's ahead. The old barriers, a thing of the past. The new challenges, something to see God do in the future. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Each of these memorials tells its own story. And in your life, you'll come across these moments when you believe God and He takes you through those impassable, impossible barriers. And they become their own story of what God did. So do you know what happens when you follow God through these impassable barriers? Well, here's what happens. The works of God are memorialized. The works of God are memorialized. Look in your Bible, chapter 4, verse 21. I'll read through verse 23. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time come, saying, what mean these stones? Because the kids are going to say, Hey, Dad, look here. Do you see that big stack of stones in the middle? That's really weird. Dad, look at the stack of stones. That's really weird. Why are these stacks of stones there? Oh, son, let me tell you about it. Your fathers, ask their fathers, what mean these stones? And then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone, over. These impassable barriers that you and I experience, these become memorials of works of God. You think about your own life. I hope you have some memorials in your life that you can look back and see the works of God. Maybe there are purchases that God so clearly led in that only God could help. And you see, this is a memorial of God. And you think of a time in your life when God was dealing with an area of testing in your own life, an area of temptation in your life. You think about some of the difficult times in your life. And it was so, there's just no way through. But now you look back and you see this is a work of God. It's a memorial. And it builds your faith that God is a God who is able to bring you through, because there's always going to be another challenge that's impassable. And you say, oh Lord, this is a memorial to what God is doing. You know, we need memorials for ourselves. We need memorials for the people around us of the works of God. Memorials of victory. Trophies of the faithfulness of God. It's good to look back on the works of God. But do you know what else happens? I'm coming off of some kind of something this week. My voice is wearing out. Too much preaching today. He said, well, cut it off, my brother. Cut it off. I will. Next week. No. You know what else God does for you? When God takes you through those impassable spiritual barriers in your life, your personal spiritual impact is multiplied. So you look in your Bible at chapter 4 and verse 14. God says to Joshua, "On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life." Chapter 3, verse 7, God told Joshua, "Listen, here's what I'm going to do this, and it'll be such an evidence that God is at work in your life, Joshua, just as the people saw God at work in Moses' life. They're going to see his work in your life as well." And what happens is, if you will believe God in those impassable barriers and you watch God take you through, now you have an opportunity to help others. You become a trophy of the graciousness of God. And the reality of God in your life isn't just something that we hear about, we read out in books that people in the past experienced. No, this is someone that somebody like you and the people that know, and they say, "Look what God has done in this person's life. God can do that for me. God can do it for me." And your life has such a great impact because you were willing, when you came to the impassable moments in your life and those barriers that were you couldn't get past in your own way, but God in his power, and you came to the Lord and the Lord brought you through it, now you can impact people that you would never impact unless you had believed God in the impassable barriers. And then there's something else that God does that's really the most important of everything. The most important thing that God does is that our God is magnified. So we read in our Bible, verse 24, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord. He's magnified to the people of our world. But even beyond, in addition to that, I should say, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. That ye might fear the Lord your God forever. He is magnified in the people of the earth. He is magnified in the people of God. That we see him not as a God who is distant, but we experience him as a God who is mighty, whose power is real and transformational. Makes you want to say, "Oh Lord, I want to know you more. I want to follow you." God is working in the world to communicate himself so that those without Christ will see him and come to him. He is working in the world to magnify himself so that each of us become testimonies of the God who is mighty. So God brings you to the preparation phase, and he's brought you to a place in your life. He's presented to you this impassable barrier, but he's shown you this is the next step for you. Now on the other side, there's going to be joy and rejoicing over the works of God. But before you get to the commemoration phase, and many of us have wonderful stories to commemorate the goodness of God and the grace of God. But before you get to the commemoration phase, you've got to come to the commitment phase. And wherever you are, and whatever your barrier, you have to be willing to commit to obeying God before you see the end result. Commit one step at a time. And while you're taking those steps, trusting that the God who called you is the God who will take you through that impassable barrier. Let's all stand together, shall we?